a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
For the lead from 35, Fairbairn delivers the goods.
That possession right there is where the Texans gave the Packers just a little bit more life so that they were able to kick that game-winning walk-off field goal to take them down 24-22 yesterday at Lambeau Field. And what's frustrating about that sequence that led up to that Fairbairn field goal is that it felt like the Texans didn't really have a plan. And as they had a couple of bad plays on first and second down, they changed their plan, but they did it in a faulty manner. First two plays of the series, inside the red zone, they lose 2 yards, they lose 3 yards, handing the football off to Joe Mixon. So then on third down, they run a play where a wide receiver is going towards the sideline, short of the sticks. No win scenario. If the ball is caught, he's going out of bounds, clock stops. If the ball is incomplete, clock stops. Packers had another timeout to burn. And had they, after being in a 3rd-and-15 situation, just run up the middle and committed to the plan, guess what might have happened? The Packers might have had to call that timeout. They might not have had enough time to kick the field goal at the very end. And it starts with them doing what they did in that series. And I get why they ran the ball. Mixon was the only guy doing anything for them on offense. It was really hard for them to throw. But I think they went into that situation thinking Mixon would be able to get them to score. And then all of a sudden they said, all right, well, we're still going to go for the touchdown. But it was a horrible play call to get there. And that sequence right there, Joe, is I really feel like where the Texans officially lost yesterday's game.
Yeah, they should have done – I think you go all in one way or the other. You either run it 3 plays or you throw it 3 plays. Like, think back to the Josh Allen play, drive a couple weeks ago, where they threw it 3 times against the Texans. It did not work. It gave the Texans the ball back, and the Texans got the win. Like, if you're gonna run it, just run it every time. Make them use all their timeouts. If you're going to throw it, you might as well throw it every single time and just say, screw it. We have a top, 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, just go for the touchdown. So either – because to me, the worst thing a coach can be is wishy-washy. It is to – like, not stick to what you know and to be going back and forth on what your decision-making should be. No matter the success or the failures you've had in a game, if your plan on a given week would be to throw, give CJ the ball 3 times to throw it, that should be your plan. If your plan would be to run it, then run it 3 times. And that's where just, I'm with you. It just seems like they have a poor, poor plan. Or if they have one that's their plan, then it just sucks.
When it was 2nd and long, you throw the ball there, or you've just committed, hey, all right, we're going to just try to continue to run the clock. We're going to hand it off again on 2nd. We're going to hand it off on 3rd again, just like you said. Here's DeMeco Ryans when asked about said plan in that last possession where the Texans did momentarily take a late lead.
Yeah, our goal is always to go score. That's our goal. Like, they did a good job of stopping us, didn't get in, so... You know, obviously, we didn't pass the ball well all day, right? So it wasn't good all the way around. We ran the ball well. Thought Joe did a good job of running the ball. And, we needed to pass it. It was not good enough, starting with the protection. If we can't protect, and that's going to be difficult for the quarterback to make the plays.
He goes from talking about the end-of-game sequence to just talking about the game as a whole. And, okay, I can understand why they gave the ball to Mixon on 1st and 2nd down. But it's 3rd and long. What was that call?
Bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there was something else there that they were looking for, but like it feel like that was the plan, to throw it short of the sticks to the sidelines. Like, that's, like you said, it's everything that could go wrong. You don't get the first down. He potentially catches it and then just falls out of bounds, so they don't have to use their timeout anyways. Like, what do you, or it's just incomplete like it was in July. Like, what do you accomplish with that? Like,
I don't know.
I it was nice to hear him acknowledge the lack of pass protection, I guess. Like, that's some accountability. instead of just the rah-rah stuff that we get all the time from DeMeco.
But he said it every single week, and I mean, he said it at halftime. The offensive line has to be more physical, and guess where they weren't physical? When C.J. Stroud's getting shoulder-checked by a guy while running out of bounds on the sideline.
Man, I find that fascinating to say, like, your offensive line needs to be more physical. Well,
paid $188 million. They're huge guys. And if I'm paid $188 million, guess what I want to do? Because it's a perk of my job. Hurt people.
And like, you're not physical when you're running the ball for 115 yards and two touchdowns. So you're only not physical when you're in pass protection. Like, I find that comment just interesting. That like, a team can be so effective running the ball and they're clearly very physical, but then you're going to blame physicality when you're pass blocking.
Like interesting. I didn't take that from him saying that there. It does make sense, I guess. I thought more so, though, that most of the Texans' success on the ground was because Joe Mixon was really good yesterday.
That's fair. That's fair, because he's been awesome.
It was better pass. It was better run protection than it was last week, but it still
and
left
normally,
some to be desired.
Normally when a team gets in the red zone in a situation like the Texans were in and then starts running the ball, normally I'm like, oh my God, guys, please try to score a touchdown. With this situation, I actually think that handing the ball off is was the Texans' best chance to try to score a touchdown.
I agree.
Like what you said, Joe Mixon was the best offensive player, definitely on the Texans, maybe on the field, when you take into account all the mishaps that Jordan Love had. Maybe Josh Jacobs is those two running backs are the best players on the field, but that was their best chance to try to win, was to hand it off. Now on third down, I don't know why you went away with it. I get it was third and long at that point, so maybe it changes the math a little bit. But at that point, you should just switch into, make them use their last timeout mode.
More on the Texans' plan, he said in quotation marks, at the end, leading up to that Kaimi Fairbairn go-ahead field goal. C.J. Stroud was asked about their approach. I thought he gave a very interesting answer.
I just try to execute every play that I can, that I get called. I really don't know the philosophy right then and there. You know, I'm trying to talk to DeMeco, but I really can't get over there. But, you know, what it seemed like we were trying to just run out the clock and then, you know, try to kick a field goal before, you know, we ended up, having to throw the ball on third down and, you know, give them the ball back with a minute and like 40 left. So, I think that it was a good plan. Just got to execute better.
My favorite part about that is everything he says before the very end. I thought it was a good plan. Just got to execute better. Sounds like somebody who doesn't know what the plan was.
Yeah, he said he couldn't get over there to talk to DeMeco, which is wrong because they just came out of the 2-minute warning. So CJ, they left the 2-minute warning not knowing what the plan was because the first run that was for negative yardage was literally out of the 2-minute warning. So I'm very confused by that, to be honest.
The first run, I can understand how a plan's maybe not in place firmly as far as what you're going to do. But the second down, they should have had a very good idea of what they were going to do. If we're going to run the ball again and we don't get a lot of yardage, okay, we're going to run it again on third down. But listening to Stroud there, where he begins that by saying, like, hey, I just do what I'm told. And then saying a bunch of different things that make it sound like everything was a little bit discombobulated. And then wrapping it up with saying, I think it's a good plan. It's a nice, politically correct, political bow to put on all that. But it's clear he didn't think there was a plan. And here's Stephon Diggs after the game talking about this plan, he again said in quotation marks.
For me, I hate to give you the cliche, but I don't call the plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, we went in with the mindset trying to score, I guess. We ran the ball, tried to run the ball efficiently, didn't get too much, and then we kicked the field goal. So for me, I don't call the plays. I don't know what we're thinking as a whole, but I just know, I'll be trying to do my job.
I'll be trying to do my job, mentioned that he doesn't call the plays twice, said we were trying to score, I guess.
I guess. That's the part where.
Those are two big words.
Yeah.
I guess.
Again, didn't know the plan. I guess I'm just confused.
They didn't have one. They didn't have one, and that's partly on DeMeco Ryans and that's partly on Bobby Slowick. They should have had a plan. These are the kind of situations that you're going to have to be better in going forward if you want to beat teams that are like this, especially if those teams are well coached. And yeah, the Packers shot themselves in the foot a lot in this game, but I look at Matt LaFleur as a better coach than D'Amico Ryans, and I definitely look at Jeff Hafley, the Packers defensive coordinator, as a better coordinator than Bobby Slowick is.
Yeah, I mean, and they this is why they're not a great football team. It's because they don't have a plan to execute in these moments. Because I'm with you. We are now in agreement that a guy who just left Boston College to be the Packers defensive coordinator is a better coordinator than Bobby Slowick, who was supposedly the second hottest coaching candidate this last offseason.
Hot how?
Hireable.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't put him in like the Sean McVay category. You know,
well, Sean McVay's short. He's not
Cliff Kingsbury category.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
I'm sorry I'm not offended by short kings and their attraction this fall.
Listen, I'm just saying what women want.
I know.
Women want an 8-foot tall ogre who's ugly as hell. They'll still be hot to him.
that's true.
If he's been hit in the face by a shovel, the better.
But yeah, he just God, I mean, I don't know how it's this bad. Like, how do you not have a better plan than this? How do you have your two best players on offense besides Joe Mixon saying that they don't know what the plan is?
This also, like,
they're being really nice is what they're doing. They're being really nice to Bobby Slowick by not saying his plan sucked. That's what they're doing.
And I don't think they would ever do that, but this does feel like an indictment by them publicly on Bobby.
Yes. I think this situation wasn't like rocket science. Like that's the other thing. This wasn't like, oh my God, what kind of situation do we find ourselves in? It was pretty cut and dry, I think. You were in field goal range. Do you want to throw, try to score a touchdown or run? And honestly, give yourself just as good a chance to score a touchdown with how you've been throwing the ball, and also make them use their timeouts. Like, is there a third option that I guess what they ended up doing is the third option was to run for two downs and then throw an out route 5 yards short of the sticks to someone. I guess that was this third plan. But to me, maybe this is me reading into it. Maybe this is my own thoughts on the plan. I think they knew what the plan was. They just think it sucks, and they can't get up there and say the plan sucked.
There was another question, and I wasn't able to get the audio to sound good enough where you could hear the question, but some reporter asked C.J. Stroud a very long and convoluted question about whether or not he has the ability to audible at the line of scrimmage. Stroud's answer, no. And it was a little awkward, just the no. At the very end of that?
I missed that.
Yeah.
Hold up. CJ doesn't have the ability to call audibles?
That's what some people were taking it as. Let me read the actual transcript because the fine folks who do media relations in Green Bay actually did transcribe it. Here is... Where's the question? Where is it? On if he had the option to throw more before the third down throw on the last drive. Again, it's a much longer question than that. His answer, no. Just one word.
So I guess, probably like he can audible stuff during the game, I would assume. But I guess in that moment, it was just like
you'd be surprised. A lot of these guys don't have the ability to audible in the way that you would think that a Brady, a Aaron Rodgers, a Peyton Manning have.
Especially like the Shanahan tree guy. Because I remember that was the thing when LaFleur came to Green Bay, and that was the thing with Rodgers.
He was pissed about that.
Yeah. LaFleur was just like, just run the play that I called.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's maybe not do that then. Let me let CJ call the shots there. Bobby.
I think flexibility should be allowed. I don't think it should be universal. Hey, just run what's called, especially considering no one in this city right now, fair or unfair, has faith in Bobby Slowick.
Definitely fair.
Does anyone like Bobby Slowick as offensive coordinator? And again, I'm going to even give a little benefit of the doubt. I don't know what he's doing. I truly don't. But I don't think there's anybody out there that likes Bobby Slowick, Texans offensive coordinator right now, living here in Houston, Texas. Unless they are a Titans fan that doesn't actually like the Texans.
The Cowboys fan.
Something like that, right.
I think he's like pretty average.
I would say
I don't think he's a disaster, but he's not good.
If we're talking about Q rating for Houston Texans players right now and coaches,
huge negative.
Who is lower? Laremy Tunsil or Bobby Slowick?
Slowick. Tunsil's on the way back.
Because people, and also when people criticize Tunsil, there's a lot of, I know he's awesome, but.
There is that. You're right.
there's none of that with Bobby Slowick.
I saw a couple of tweets yesterday about Bobby Slowick, and these are from national folks, not from local folks. And I was like, damn, that is a beatdown of this man. Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com. Packers versus Texans. One offensive staff has answers and provides advantages for their young quarterback. The other, .. Here's another tweet. Houston's offense is entering fundamentally broken territory despite any C.J. Stroud heroics. No real identity with the run game, horrific pass protection issues, and without Nico Collins, they're not threatening on the perimeter. And then one last one that people were mad about this going into the weekend. This is from the Packers Locked On YouTuber or whatever. It's your competition, Joe.
It is not.
Yeah. Your rival.
This is your rival. He tweeted this out, and everyone took it as a shot at CJ. The Texans' offense with CJ Stroud for his career are 17th in EPA per play. It's a metric used to determine how efficient an offense is. 26th in success rate. 13th in EPA per dropback. And everyone agrees he's one of the best five quarterbacks in the league. So the math isn't mathing. So you could take that as a shot at C.J. Stroud. To me, that's Bobby Slowick. That's a reflection of Bobby Slowick.
I mean, no matter what at this point.
Stroud passes the eye test, the numbers. Why aren't they passing? Who do you think's involved there? Do you think it is? Is it the offensive line? Is it Slowick? It very clearly, in my opinion, is Bobby Slowick.
CJ does stuff every single week that, besides this week, really, where it's just you watch him and he's miraculous.
Even this week, I mean, he had the throw to Tank Dell, who dropped it in the end zone, I thought was good. And then the 3rd and 10 on the last drive to Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God, wow, one of his 9 completions or 10 completions of the night was a really good one. And then, yeah, everything else, bad.
Unless a lot changes, Bobby Slowick should not be the offensive coordinator of this team next year, no matter what.
Yeah.
And a lot of change.
Especially with Gerard Johnson in the building. And look, I mean, sometimes you think a guy could be the guy. Remember we all liked Pep Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was like an effing disaster.
Almost this exact situation.
Right, where Pep was the quarterback coach, and now you got Gerard Johnson the quarterback coach. And I feel like Gerard Johnson, he is going to be an offensive coordinator in the not-too-distant future. I would prefer it be here if he's not going to take a head coaching job somewhere else, and I think that might be a little bit down the road for him. But something's up right now, and I don't know how you fix this before the end of the year. Do you think that the Texans would move on from Bobby Slowick in the middle of the year? I don't. I don't see that happening.
Not
they're
5-2. Yeah, not when they're 5-2, 5-3, 6-3. Like, they would have to be really bad to do that.
No, they don't have to do that, but you have to at some point like just reevaluate what's going on. Why do we fail in the second half every time? That's the question they should be asking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should be talking to CJ and saying, what is, like, in the passing game, why is this stuff working so well? What's not? Like, what is CJ not like about the offense? What's going on with the offensive line? They have to just coach better. And part of that is coaching yourselves and figuring out what's wrong. I mean, if D'Amico should be crushing Bobby, probably privately.
Bullying him?
For his game plan.
Crushing him violently?
Yes.
Crushing him, yeah. Just with his hand.
He probably could.
You know, here's the thing with D'Amico. I wonder behind closed doors how he lights up people. Very curious about that.
Yeah. Because he seems very mild-mannered.
He does. And you know, and he talks about being respectful of other men. And hey, you know what? In 2024, yelling in the workplace is generally frowned upon. And I don't know that yelling in the workplace generally makes things better. And also, I take a look at either Bill O'Brien here or currently Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. And, I mean, all-time bad vibes coming out of there. But this is one of those sequences where, I mean, DeBico's got to have a conversation with Slowick. Sounds like Stroud wants to have it. Sounds like Diggs wants to have it. I bet Tank Dell sure does with his numbers, wants to have it. Catch the ball in the end zone, bro. But I wonder if they actually will change anything the rest of the way.
I mean, if they don't, then they're going to win a playoff game and then go home.
Yeah, they'll lose, like, to the first real playoff team that they face.
Like, we know their story right now.
Will they win that first playoff game? Okay, I don't think it's a lock. I don't think they'll
be the two seed. So
there are so many things that have yet to be cleaned up. Yeah. I mean, Sunday against the Colts. I know you, Joe, are looking at it like it's a lock, and I want to look at it like it's a lock, but I don't think the Colts are that far behind you. And we talk about teams who are coached well. I think that Shane Steichen has shown that he's a more effective coach than DeMeco Ryans is to this point. He has had to make the most out of bad quarterback situations for back-to-back years, and DeMeco's had C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, and it might just be – they might go with Richardson now, but you play in the playoffs, it might be Flacco again. Look, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to make the playoffs, and, like, they could be the sixth seed at this point in the season. If you're the three seed, you're playing Cincinnati in the first round of the playoffs, I'm picking the Bengals right now.
Oh.
Like, the Texans' offense isn't good enough. Like, they don't score in the second half. You cannot be a – you're not a legitimate Super Bowl contender – if your offense is literally incompetent in the second half. That's what they are. Like, whatever's going wrong, whether it's Bobby or the offensive line or CJ, whatever it is, like, if they want to have real aspirations, right now at best, they are a win a playoff game and then go home.
Damn. That makes me sad.
Me too.
It makes me so sad. It makes me more sad than my friends getting mad at me for drunkenly doing a horns down.
When did they stop texting you, by the way?
I don't know. I deleted every single time they sent me a new one. I just deleted the whole
conversation. But there wasn't like a follow-up like the next day?
No, no. Oh, okay. They didn't text me yesterday. Okay. I tried to leave the conversation, but apparently on Apple, you can't leave a three-person conversation. You can't leave it.
Oh, wow.
So I just had to keep on deleting it. They're like, oh, here's another text. And I was just responding at a certain point. Yep. All right. Great.
You should have just responded with GIFs.
No, there was. I was actually, and I'm so mad at myself for this, but like, my mood was affected because I was getting yelled at for putting up horns down in the frame of a video, and it wasn't even my face attached to it. Honestly, it could have been somebody else.
Yeah, you should have said it wasn't me.
Yeah, I got very white hands though, so I don't know. I wasn't 100% sure it was me, but I deleted the video. So,
oh, okay. Well, was it on your phone?
No. They sent it to me.
Oh, okay. You should text them. Just send them a picture of the red challenge flag and just be like, I need to challenge the video here.
Let's take a look.
Let's take a look. I need to make sure it's my hand.
Well, I mean, honestly.
Terry McCauley weigh in. Yeah. Terry, what'd you see here?
But I just fell on the sword, honorable like Ned Stark, and maybe I should have fought because, well, there was an incident in college where I may have been framed for something. And ended up on probation for a full year.
Okay.
And we found out. So basically, I was accused of having like sleptwalked down the hallway and going to the bathroom in a person's room that was next to the actual bathroom. And this person just accused me blindly, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I didn't do it.
You couldn't prove it.
Well, they couldn't either, but the guys who were there, the campus police, they basically talked me into saying, like, well, how would I remember? Because I said, like, oh, I had, like, five drinks, but I was fine. I played Zelda when I got home that night.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it happens to everybody. It's no big deal. And I was like, all right, I guess. And then they wrote me up for everything. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We had one of my best friends, five times the rest of college, sleptwalked, peed somewhere.
Oh.
It was 100% him. It was 100% him, and I got accused of something, and I took the fall. So I took the fall on this. It might not have been me.
Paul, good fall guy over here.
Great fall guy. The best fall guy. Anyway, we're all over the place. And the Texans are not in the win column. How about that? That was a terrible transition.
They're 0-1.
I feel more sad than I did when I threw down an accidental horns down on Saturday night.
Accidental.
Yeah.
We know true feelings come out when you're drinking, so.
You really should have rebelled there. If anything, you know.
I know.
Anyway. Causing a scene. It helps.
It does. All right. It is Gallon and George. Up next, 10-minute drill. Deshaun Watson, done for the year. Oh, boy. And on top of that, who else is in the 5-2 club in the NFL? Stick around.
Let's talk about LeBurge, Lake Charles, Sean, myself, Brian. We'll be out there on the 16th and the 17th. We're doing two shows that weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun to be back out there. Look, if you want to go and leave Texas, bet on your Texas teams. If you're looking at the Texans, you know, -6.5 at this moment versus the Colts. You can play that there coming up this Saturday. So if you want to go this weekend before the Colts game, they got a Halloween party going on over at the Taco restaurant that they got on the property as well. So there's always something going on, not just in the sports book, but throughout the entire property. They got the 19 betting kiosks. You got the 24-foot video wall that every game on. And look, if you're betting on a game and you're nice to the guys who are running the book, they'll even put your a Rice football game on the small screen like we did for Mapes the last time we were there. So there are always good people there at LaBerge in Lake Charles. When you leave Texas and bet your Texas teams, do it at ESPN Bet inside the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Just stumbled, and now Watson is hurt. Oh, boy. Immediately clutches at his right ankle. Unbelievable.
The Cleveland quarterback gave himself up and was down before the ball became loose. There's a timeout on the field for an injured player.
I don't even see. They definitely sound like they were cheering for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland when he ruptured his Achilles in yesterday's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, do you blame him?
It's a good question. The reason that they are cheering is because he's awful. They're not cheering because they all of a sudden now are looking at themselves in the mirror and thinking to themselves, what have we done? We sold our soul to bring this guy in. He stinks. Before the game, this is the reception that Deshaun Watson got as he was getting introduced. That's how he's coming out of the tunnel. They're sick of him being out there. I don't know that I would have cheered aloud because I wouldn't want to get in trouble. But, I mean, I probably would have been like, well, finally, after he goes down, finally, somebody else is going to come in.
Yeah, because part of it's like, they're not just cheering. I mean, he's hurt. But, like, the fact that Stefanski won't bench him. They all want him benched. No one wants him out there. Like, no one wants to see Deshaun Watson be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns anymore. They're excited it's not going to happen anymore. You also don't know in the moment he tore his Achilles. No.
It looked bad, though.
It did look bad. And they had to bring the card out for him and everything. Like, I don't blame him. I mean, not all the fans were on board with him coming in. Like, obviously, like, you have guys like, you know, I remember when Jim Thome, you know, obviously, when they found out him and his wife were, like, very, very public that they gave up their season tickets because Deshaun Watson was going to be the Browns quarterback. So some of that is a factor. Like, there are a lot of people who didn't want him there in the first place. But I don't blame him. Like, he sucks as a person. He sucks as a football player.
This show, one host is okay with cheering a guy getting injured. The other one's okay with throwing bottles on the field. It's fine. It's fine.
The other one's fine doing horns down. All scumbags.
All the scam. You're right. All scumbag moves there.
Maybe a sleepwalker, too.
I'm not a sleepwalker. Can't confirm.
You don't know?
I guess we'll never know. That is true. Now, what was even more surprising, I saw this on the Red Zone up on my smaller TV while watching the Texans and Packers, and they immediately cut to Dorian Thompson-Robinson warming up, and that's where my mind was blown, thinking, wait a second, isn't Jameis Winston the backup quarterback? And I guess Jameis Winston was made inactive before the game. A Browns reporter described Jameis Winston's situation as a hostage crisis. And we'll play what Winston said about the fan reaction to Deshaun Watson tomorrow, but I was stunned that it was not Jameis Winston who stepped in for Deshaun Watson. That is fishy. That is so fishy.
Yeah, Schefter tweeted after the game, presumed starter, because he got hurt as well in this game. Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
This was the first game this season that Jameis Winston was not the backup quarterback, that he was the emergency third string, which they ended up needing because, again, like you said, DTR got hurt. But, yeah, this was the first game that they made him inactive or, you know, emergency quarterback only. That is fishy. That's very
fishy. It's weird. Why?
So people, it's very Cleveland Browns, and when I say that, I mean stupid, that they're like, well, the fans are chanting for Jameis, so we'll make Jameis inactive. It's like, well, they can still just chant for him.
Yeah, but like why is Joe Flacco? But Joe Flacco's not there, basically for this reason. Like, the people, they knew fans would want Joe Flacco as their quarterback because he took him to the playoffs last year. And they wouldn't want Deshaun Watson out there. Like, they're protecting this man's fragile ego, what they're doing.
But I don't even know if it's his ego anymore as much as it's just themselves.
I was going to say, is it Deshaun Watson's ego or is it Jimmy Haslam's ego?
But I mean, with the way Kevin Stefanski's been so combative about it, and this does feel like it was a Stefanski decision to make him inactive. I'm wondering if there's something else going on behind the scenes, but everyone seems to like Jameis in Cleveland, in the locker room at the very least. So I'm really baffled by this entire situation, and I will enjoy rubbernecking this car crash.
Yeah.
Though I will not cheer a man getting injured.
No matter, that's very, very...
I'm noble.
Very big of you.
Saluting while I did it.
I laughed, so... I was at brunch.
It was like, mine was like a, oh, really? It happened.
There's a chuckle in there.
And then I honestly thought, I was like, oh, well, this kind of resolves the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland. He's just going to be on IR for the rest of this year. Probably IR for, if not all, most of next year, too. Because he's probably going to come back in November of next year. And then they cut him after next year. Boom. They did it. They got through the Deshaun Watson era. They can move on. Really, this offseason, they can move on. He'll still be on the roster. That sucks. But they don't have to keep watching him anymore. They probably have single-digit Watson games left to watch, if any. So congrats, Browns fans. You earned it.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be doing like the Aaron Rodgers back in.
No. You don't think that he's going to... Oh, man. He should say, if the Browns make the playoffs, I have a chance of coming back.
Well, now I kind of want that. I was even just thinking next year. Like, take a sweet ass.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to be like, hey, Deshaun, like, you're not ready.
Yeah. Do you think Deshaun's going to be killing himself in rehab, trying to be ready all in for week one, like RG3 back in the day?
No.
Like, what are we talking about?
Right. There were more games that took place across the NFL yesterday. The Chiefs still undefeated.
Cheaters? I think that Mahomes plays Bush League.
Elaborate.
I mean, he fakes stepping out of bounds. Like, you can't hit the quarterback. If he actually steps out of bounds and you hit him, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Okay, did that happen?
Yeah, it was the play before the touchdown.
He
fakes.
You got to set this up better for me.
So he runs to his left.
Yeah, so he's running down the left sideline. And he does this move where, like, it looks like he's about to run out of bounds to avoid contact.
He's like running at an angle just to get the first down and go out of bounds. Okay. And then he cuts
back
upfield and he runs to like the 10-yard line.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't do that.
I don't think it's that egregious, honestly.
It's like the Kenny Pickett fake slide.
No, he just made a move.
But then if he goes out of bounds and he gets hit, like, it's a 15-yard penalty. You can't fake going out of bounds if you're a
quarterback. Just push him. You don't have to smack him. Just push him. Get your hands on him. It was very bad. The defender got turned around pretty bad.
He did.
On like a C-minus move by Pat Mahomes.
And then Mahomes did truck a guy later in the game.
He did hit truck a guy.
So this is the big story from the Chiefs win. They cheated.
He also played like garbage. But
still won by 10.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud plays like garbage. Mm-hmm. And the Texans lose.
No.
By 2.
Kareem Hunt had 2 touchdowns in this game and has been a very nice addition. And they are doing all of the things the Patriots used to do. They're bringing old guys back. They're great right away. They're winning games where their quarterback isn't dominating. Their defense is really good. Yeah, man.
The Kareem Hunt one is just...
Yeah.
He's like barely been in the league.
Right.
The last couple of years. And then they just find him and
boom.
This feels even more extreme than like what the Patriots are doing.
Because the Patriots did it a lot on defense, where you're like, oh, well, this makes sense. Only Bill Belichick knows how to get the most out of Jamie Collins or whoever. But this is, like, especially weird because it's like, no, I've seen Mecole Hardman play wide receiver. He's not that good. But he can make 3 plays a game for the Chiefs.
Lions gave the Vikings their first loss of the year, 31-29. Minnesota did have an early lead in this one, but then Detroit just did Detroit things. And they get the game-winning field goal at the very end. This is making that game coming up against the Lions look a little bit more daunting, especially considering the Texans just lost to one of these NFC North teams. The Green Bay Packers, who were in last place in the NFC North going into this game, despite it being 4-2.
Yeah, Sunday Night Football in Houston. Maybe the roof will be open. That'll be cool. But that just feels like this feels like bad vibes coming for that one. I hope Nico's back. Because that's the first game he would be back for, potentially, if he is actually only up for
Patriots would be the first one.
Yeah, so he could be back for the Lions game. So maybe Nico's back and things are better, but Lions are good. Yeah, very good.
Texans going to get swept by the NFC North. Oh, no, not swept. No, they beat the Bears. Never mind. Swept by the awesome teams and the NFC North.
Rest of the 5-2 club, Green Bay Packers, the Bills, 5-2. Texans beat them.
Head-to-head win. Should be ahead in the power rankings.
Yep. They beat the Titans 34-10. Amari Cooper caught a touchdown pass. The 5-2 Commanders beat the Panthers 40-7. Jaden Daniels got hurt. Mariota finished it up. The Steelers are 5-2. Man, this was so much better than baseball. Watching Russell Wilson with the Steelers against the New York Jets in Sunday Night Football. It was a lot better.
Apparently, Russell Wilson's less washed than Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know if Rodgers is. Do you think Rodgers is washed?
I know, but my God, he looks old. Just like every time he gets hit, it looks like a chore for him to get off the ground.
I don't think he's worse than Russell Wilson, but from considering the heights that he was, he's fallen more. he is less of less of a percentage of the quarterback he was.
And like Garrett Wilson catches that pass and doesn't get picked. Like maybe it's a different football game, but like Aaron he looks so old on the field.
I like that he blamed the media after the game. I like it. Keep being you, Aaron Rodgers. Keep being you. Also, the Bucks or Ravens will join the 5-2 club after tonight's Monday Night Football game. There are two Monday Night Football games again. You got Chargers, Cardinals, and you got Bucks, Ravens.
To be honest with you, until you said that earlier, I had no idea. I thought there was only one game tonight.
Yeah.
I'm also not watching Chargers, Cardinals.
I do like that they give you one that's like, you don't have to watch this one. This is one where if it's a close game, you can flip over, but we do two just so one can be bad, one can be good. There's one a couple weeks ago. Whereas the Commanders, Bengals, and then just some awful Titans, Dolphins game.
Hey, Titans, Dolphins is better than baseball.
No, it is. But I'm saying that's why they give you two options. It's like, oh, you can just watch the good one instead.
Yeah, that's true. Colts are breathing down the Texans' neck, by the way. Before they play them on Sunday, they beat Miami 16-10. Barn burner of a game. Anthony Richardson 10-24 passing. Oh. Still better than baseball.
The Texans lose to the Colts.
It just sounds like
serious conversations need to be had.
Yeah. They did just say that DeForest Buckner and Jonathan Taylor are trending to return to practice tomorrow for the Colts. So I guess they could be out there on Sunday. But Anthony Richardson still their quarterback.
They held Taylor in check last time for what it's worth, even though Taylor has historically owned them.
And half the Texans defense should be theoretically getting more healthy. Mm. Both linebackers. Two secondary players?
Kamari Lasseter. Oh, he's probably going to miss another
game. Lasseter's probably out.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. That is the 10-minute drill. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. And you can tweet us at Galan says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes, behind the glass. Coaching killed the Texans yesterday. Was there any positive, though, in the game? Do we want to put on our sunshine hats and do a little dance and talk about the rainbows that took place in a 24-22 loss at Lambeau Field? We can! Stick around!
Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
There's Mixon. Mixon finds his way to the end zone. And another Houston touchdown.
You look good.
Joe Mixon looked really good.
Yeah.
Nick Cassero did something right.
I still have questions about the extension that they gave to him after they made that trade, given that he's a running back. But, hey, guys, it's football time in Houston. And even if the Texans are 5-2, there's positives to be taken away from yesterday's L.
I think there's quite a few positives.
There's a lot of positives.
Yeah.
You know, they hung in there.
They're in second place in the AFC still.
It's a moral victory. That's true, though. If Baltimore wins tonight, Baltimore is going to be on the same level as them. And they're tied for second place with a couple of teams that have the same record, even if they maybe have the tiebreaker over at least one of them, the Buffalo Bills.
But they're still in second place.
Mm-hmm.
Positives.
Doesn't matter, Paul. Second place on October 21st, yes. Paul.
Let's get some sunshine music going on. Let's go.
I think I'll go for a walk outside. Summertime's calling my name.
I miss you, Paul.
Everybody's smiling. Everybody's laughing.
So there were some good things that happened yesterday. Neville Hewitt stepping in for the injured Texans linebacker core, no Aziz Al-Shaair, no Henry To'oto'o. And even though he seems to be a little bit too much of a wrestling enthusiast, getting penalized for suplexing a guy, he had a good game. I was pleasantly surprised because I thought he struggled in the action that we saw him get in the preseason.
See, notes here under defensive drive number 3, Neville Hewitt, future WWE champion. Is in my notes. One of my positives this weekend.
He's definitely
going to the WWE. He's done.
I hope so.
He's fun.
We need to boost his credibility a little bit so people know who he is. But yeah, give him a cool name.
Yeah.
Neville doesn't work. Neville, I think of Neville Longbottom from Harry Potter, who was a baby back bitch until the very end. He did do something at the end, to his credit.
There wasn't Neville in the WWE not that long ago. He sucked. He's actually an awesome wrestler, but his character can't be a Neville.
Gotcha.
But yeah, future WWE superstar, Neville Hewitt. I'm in. He was fun. Kalen Bullock.
He had another interception. He did get beat on a play.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the Romogasm, Sean, that I emailed to you. Tony Romo. Tony Romo doing Romogasms. I like it. I like it when I hear men making sexual noises in the middle of a TV broadcast.
I mean, this is a great route, throw, just the ball's barely on the outside of his finger. Oh, he could have came down with it.
Had it right there for a second.
He did. He just didn't maintain control at the end. And
yeah, the impact of the ground falling on his back, knocked it loose.
Jordan Love throws.
I love your description, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck, I'm feeling it. Yeah. You're right there.
But that was on a play where Kalen Bullock was beat.
Are we sure he's not constipated? Are those sex noises or haven't pooped in 4 days noises? Because I think he sounds constipated.
I have lots of fiber. I don't know what that even means.
When he goes, like, the ball just touches the tip of his fingers and that's where, you know.
Yeah.
I go against constipation. I vote against constipation. I vote for. Been a long weekend away from the family for Roma.
Yeah.
I liked having Roma there. People are saying, oh, Jim Nance on the call is the kiss of death for Texans. Whenever he's on the call for a Houston sporting event, things don't go well. Was he on the call for Cougs and Duke?
Probably.
In the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, his last game, one of his last games was a Cougs loss.
Right.
Is it just that he calls the biggest games? And
yeah.
Other than the Astros, these teams don't win?
They usually don't play in big games, and yeah, you're right. Like, exactly.
Because I was thinking about just the Texans. Like, because we talked about it on Friday, the last time Jim Nance called a game, and I was staggered by how long ago it was.
What was
it might have been the
2019.
Yeah, the was it the Kansas City game?
Might have been. Goodness gracious.
Like, no, that was on ESPN.
Oh, that game? Was? Yeah, the Kansas City.
Whatever
comeback.
It was, yeah, it's 4 to 5 years. It's been a while. But he was good, positive. Joe Mixon, Neville Hewitt.
Jim Nantz, Tony Romo.
Jake Hansen as well.
Jake Hansen,
in general, like the linebacker core was pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say the decimated Texans defense, not bad.
Yeah. Tim Settle, you're right about the Texans decimated defense.
Except for
D'Angelo Ross, he sucks.
Yeah, yeah. If you told me 24 points before the game, I'm like, not bad. Okay. Yeah. We're thinking it might be a Vikings kind of performance.
They really only gave up one big play, and that was because D'Amico Ryans didn't call a timeout when he should have. It was down the left sideline. Yeah. There's clearly some miscommunication going on when Jordan Love hit Dontavius Wicks for that six.
Yeah, because the play before was the weird, was it a backwards pass thing, and then they line up fast to run the play.
Right. That
at the very least, call a timeout. Like,
yeah.
Even if you're not going to review it, just call the timeout.
Especially if you're jumping up and down. It's like D'Amico forgot he was head coach there.
Yeah. That was a bad one.
That was a bad one, but that's negative. Positive.
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 Texans responded.
Looking through my notes to see if I have any.
Stroud didn't get hurt despite the bad offensive line. That's positive.
True. That's true. That's positive.
Very positive.
No one else got hurt.
We'll see the injury report.
Three takeaways.
That's very positive.
Texans didn't turn it over.
Won the turnover battle.
Convincingly. Yeah. Handily. Against the team that gets the most takeaways in the NFL.
Positive.
Yeah, that's something we talked about before. Yeah.
CJ threw a lot of incompletions, but none of them were turnovers.
It is crazy how the Texans, we both, and I don't know what your thoughts were, Joe, going into the game, but we both were pretty low on the Texans' chances. But we thought it would happen in a different way than they keep the ball the entire time but just can't do anything. We thought it would be more turnovers and big play. We thought it would be like the first half, really, for the entire game. It wasn't that.
They won the time of possession battle.
That's good.
31-47 to 28-43.
So they won turnover and time of possession. Those are big.
That's part of it.
Special teams are better than the Packers special teams.
Just kind of.
How'd they lose this game?
Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson both had sacks.
That is good. That is good. Danielle note of that.
Danielle probably could have had another one or two. But
they almost sacked Jordan Love as many times as C.J. Stroud was sacked. Mm. And considering it felt like C.J. Stroud was running for his life, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That is true.
Good job by Stroud avoiding those sacks. That's why he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the game.
Danico Autry will be back next. Oh, he played in this game.
Hey! He was...
Where is this dude at?
He gave...
I guess I didn't know his number, so yeah, it took me a while.
That's where I was.
That's not positive.
When Danielle Hunter got a sack, though, he did a good job of congratulating Danielle Hunter on his sack.
Nice.
Seems like they're great friends.
Yes, chemistry. Friendship. Off the charts.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz had a 28-yard game.
Nice. Kate Stover had a nice catch, too, and run.
Texas tight ends, yards per catch. Hey, we're talking about 20. How about that?
Yeah, they had half of the passing yardage did the two tight ends.
Xavier Hutchinson's catch on that 3rd and 10. That was a great catch.
Big. Oh, Stephon Diggs and C.J. Stroud didn't throw Bobby Sloak under the bus directly out in the postgame.
I'm going to say that's a negative. They should back up the bus.
They should have thrown him under the bus.
Stephon Diggs getting in a fight with the Packers happened before the game and did not cost the Texans any penalty yardage.
I enjoyed that extra element for when the Texans were on offense of where is Jair Alexander, who is he yelling at
on
this
play? He was
talking
so much trash.
And same thing, I don't know the dude's first name, but Nixon, the other cornerback.
Yeah, this game, it was fun.
I like
chippy
the chippiness.
Yeah. It was a chippy game.
This is the chippiest game I can remember for the Texans in a while.
It's the play that was singled out as why didn't the Texans offensive line go and pick up Stroud. But when he gets the first down on the sideline and kind of gets hit, it's not like really that big of a play. I don't know. And then he gets up and signals the first down.
Yeah.
And then he goes into Jair Alexander's face and then signals the first down again. And then they chirp at each other for another 20 seconds. I like that. The chirpiness.
Lots of controversy around that play right now.
Social media. That's the play that got highlighted as
Bunch of bad teammates.
O-line doesn't have CJ's back. And, longtime listeners of the Killer Bees will know that's something Jeremy Brandon pointed out almost a year ago.
Stephon Diggs, I love the quote. I'm never the bigger person.
Oh, I love that.
Love
it. We'll play that in the last hour. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs' post-game quotes have 100% delivered this year between I'm emotional and...
I'm emotional.
And I never take the high road.
I like that. He's honest. That's all you can ask for.
I love it.
So there you go, guys. That's all the positive in the Texans' loss to the Packers yesterday. It's Galant and Georgie's Joe and Paul, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitter at Galant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.